All right. Brack, you adjust the light so there's not so much on the screen. It's helping a little bit. This is our class verse, and so let's just go ahead and say this together. Psalm 71, 17 to 18, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. So we've looked at this before, and just every once in a while I'll remind ourselves of that. Okay, we're looking at the social gospel, and one of the pillars of the social gospel is environmentalism, and of course included in environmentalism is the so-called climate change. But Christians are beginning to even get interested in climate change as a scientific fact. And there is an agenda behind that. Let's look first of all at the word environmentalism. This is a review. Environment is the circumstances or conditions that surround you, your surroundings. So describe to me this morning your environment. How would you describe your environment right now? What's that? Ed says it's warm. In here? Amen. Okay, I'm with you. Carol, how would you describe your environment? Yeah, see? So, but your environment is your surroundings. And that's key. That's something that I really want to emphasize when you talk about environment. Our environment has to do with our surroundings. So when you hear of environmentalism, that is a negative term, but it shouldn't be. Or environmentalism. It's advocacy for or work toward protecting the environment from destruction or pollution. According to that definition, I am an environmentalist. I have no patience for somebody who is working to destroy our environment, whether it be litter, whatever it may be. I am an environmentalist. Unfortunately, that is being used today to promote other things that really have more to do with control than it has to do with your environment. Okay, so I even brought up subjects and examples of your environment. This is why I started off with what's your environment here like. Is the environment in schools conducive to learning? We were talking about that in the message this morning a little bit. Why is it not conducive to learning? What's taking place in schools? Rowdy. Rowdy, okay. What do you do with those who are rowdy and disrupting? They should be out because they are creating an environment where you cannot learn. The students who are there to learn can't because where's the focus? It's on the disruptors. And so the students aren't learning. I remember my wife saying years ago, that, you know, what we need to do, the best way to run our schools is to tell students that coming to school is not a right, it's a privilege. Whoa, that would take care of some things, wouldn't it? So that goes along with the message this morning, and it has to go do with our environment here. But your environment includes more than just the temperature. What other things would you describe in your environment, Janet? Yeah, what about the language you have to hear? Isn't that part of your environment? Isn't that part of your surroundings? Why is it that the language, people can use all kinds of profanity and you're supposed to just put up with it, but if you say anything about Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, no free speech? What other things? Language she talked about, music. The people themselves, even the way people dress, immodesty, that's part of your environment. So So my point is that environment extends much further than just up there in the mountains or out, you know, that has to do more than what's just with your water and so forth. It has to do with everything around you. And if people were truly concerned about their environment, they would mow their lawn. They would take care of their home. Their home wouldn't be the eyesore in a neighborhood that brings the value down of your home. This all has to do with environment. Okay? A Christian, more than anybody, ought to be concerned about his or her environment in consideration of others, because that's what it is. It's consideration of others. So I talked about environmentalism being the Trojan horse for a New Age global religion. And I gave you this quote: today, one of the most powerful religions in the Western world is environmentalism. Environmentalism seems to be the religion of choice for urban atheists. Increasingly, it seems facts aren't necessary because the tenets of environmentalism are all about belief. It's about whether you are going to be a sinner or saved. It's whether you're going to be one of the people on the side of ecological salvation, there's the social gospel, or on the side of doom. Whether you're going to be one of us or one of them. The religion of environmentalism. Talked about global warming and how this is an article that somebody had, that climate alarmism hysteria is the most recent agenda of earth worshipers. The catastrophic human-induced global warming idea is not science. It's politics. Behind catastrophic human-induced global warming is control. Global warming is a front for control. It's in my notes somewhere. I didn't give the quote as to where it came from up there, and I can't find it right now, but that's quoting somebody. As you see there. John Coleman, down at the very bottom, the founder of the Weather Channel, said this: it is the greatest scam in history. I'm amazed, appalled, and highly offended by it, global warming. It is a scam. Some dastardly scientists with environmental and political motives manipulated long-term scientific data to create an illusion of rapid global warming. Other scientists of the same environmental wacko type jumped into the circle to support and broaden the research to further enhance the totally slanted, bogus global warming claims. Their friends in government steered huge research grants their way to keep the movement going. Soon they claimed to be a consensus. There is no runaway climate change. The impact of humans on climate is not catastrophic. Our planet is not in peril. In time, a decade or two, the outrageous scam will be obvious. As the temperature rises, polar cap, ice cap melting, coastal flooding, and superstorm pattern all fail to occur as predicted, everyone will come to realize we have been duped. The sky is not falling. The problem is not everybody's going to come to that conclusion. They will keep, right now, we have experienced heat in this country, in this world, and it's been the greatest for how many years? What have you heard? 120,000 years. It has been hotter this summer than any time in the last 120,000 years. That's what they claim. Man, Kelvin and I were on roofs just 40 years ago, burning up on those roofs. And it wasn't just up on the roof. It was burning hot outside. That's when they were talking about the ice age coming. Travis. Wow, hadn't seen that. Everything is conflicting, but all this conflicting information is simply, according to what these people are saying, it's a matter that people are trying to control you, and they're going to do it through this agenda. This is still review. I like this quote from Thomas Sowell: before we panic about global warming, we should take a look at six-day weather forecasts and see how much they change during those 6 days, quite aside from how much they differ from what the weather actually turns out to be. You know, earlier this week, I think it was Thursday night, I looked at Friday's, it was one of these nights, we just got back Wednesday night late. What was it? One of these nights I looked at the forecast for the next day, 15% chance of rain. Okay, this is 10 hours before the next day when I would be up. The next morning I woke up, it was raining. They can't even, I understand that. The mountains, air currents, I understand that. I don't expect these people to be accurate. But I don't expect these people in Washington to be real accurate either. Or what they're forecasting 12 years from now. NASA scientist James E. Hansen, who has labeled skeptics of man-made global warming as distracting court gestures, appears in a 1971 Washington Post article that warns of an impending ice age within 50 years. Quote, U.S. scientist sees new ice age coming, blares the headline of the July 9th, 1971 article, which cautions readers that the world could be as little as 50 or 60 years away from a disastrous new ice age, a leading atmospheric scientist predicts. 1971 is 52 years ago. And now they're talking about global warming, and they call it science. Environmentalist wild predictions. Walter Williams, this is all review still. At the first Earth Day celebration in 1969, environmentalist Nigel Calder warned, the threat of a new ice age must now stand alongside nuclear war as a likely source of wholesale death and misery for mankind. C.C. Wallen of the World Meteorological Organization said the cooling since 1940 has been large enough and consistent enough that it will not soon be reversed. 1968, Professor Paul Ehrlich, Vice President Gore's hero and mentor, predicted there would be a major food shortage in the U.S., and in the 1970s, hundreds of millions of people are going to starve to death. Ehrlich forecasted that 65 million Americans would die of starvation between 1980 and 1989, and by 1999, the U.S. population would have declined to 22.6 million. Ehrlich's predictions about England were gloomier. If I were a gambler, I would take even money that England will not exist in the year 2000. So you take their predictions. What does the Bible say about somebody who prophesies something that does not take place? False prophet. Do not listen to them. Folks, these are false prophets. Their religion is environmentalism. Do not be sucked in regarding this. This is where I think we left off. I just need to find it in my notes. This, that much of environmentalism is nothing more than pantheism. What is pantheism? Janet. Everything is God. God is in everything. So the earth is God. Nature is God. And so the God of nature is served. And they have their own holiday. Holiday means holy day. Their holiday is Earth Day, which is April something. April Fool's Day, yeah. That's good, Janet. I agree. This is by Gene Edward Veith in World Magazine way back in 2006. Today's environmentalism reflects a neo-pagan worldview. Loving nature passes over into worshiping nature. There is, in fact, a new environmentalist religion, the worship of Gaia, the ancient name for the earth goddess. According to its tenets, just as every living organism, including the human body, consists of millions of distinct living cells, the earth is a living, even conscious organism. Each of us, as well as each animal and species and ecosystem, is a cell in the body of Mother Earth. It's the God. No wonder you read in Romans chapter 1, they worship the creature more than the creator, and God gave them up. They took the truth of God and changed it into a lie. In a book called Environmental Stewardship in the Judeo-Christian Tradition, the author noted that Genesis does not record God creating nature. Instead, he creates each element separately. God creates mineral, vegetable, and animal with all the subspecies and variations within that category. Traditional, that is Jewish teaching, insists that this understanding of creation is to discourage worship of nature. I thought that was a very interesting observation. Then there's this on debunking decades of climate alarmism. There's a subtitle that says alarmists make wrong predictions in 2009, 1989, And it keeps going back, 1970, and even as far back as 1798. Back in 1798, Thomas Malthus, I don't think I have it, no, this isn't going to be shown. A man by the name of Thomas Malthus famously predicted in his 1798 book, an essay on the principle of population, that population growth would overtake food supply and mass starvation would result until population controls were implemented. End quote. You know what the world population was in 1798? I just went to Google and said, world population in 1798. It brought up this guy's name, Thomas Malthus. I'm sorry. They brought up his name, and the world population in 1798 was 800 million. What is it now? It's around 8 billion. And this guy was predicting there's not going to be enough food in this earth. In June 1989, the Associated Press stated, a senior UN environmental official says entire nations could be wiped off the earth, face of the earth, by rising sea levels if the global warming trend is not reversed by the year 2000. He said governments have a 10-year window of opportunity to solve the greenhouse effect before it goes beyond human control. Today, it's Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's turn to wave the dozen years left to live placard. In 2009, Al Gore prophesied, quote, some of the models suggest that there is a 75% chance that the entire polar ice cap during summer months could be completely ice-free within 5 to 7 years. That was in 2009. 5 years later, it's 2014. 7 years later, 2016. That the polar caps would be gone. In 2014, the ice caps were still there. In fact, it's 2019 when this was written, and the ice caps are still there. Feminist Betty Friedan, in 1958, the year I was born, said that swelling ocean waters may flood most of our port cities within the foreseeable future, and it will be followed by the growth of a vast glacier, which may eventually cover much of Europe and North America. I'm just giving you fact after fact after fact of what people have said that has not taken place. And of course, they say that one of the causes of climate change is capitalism. So you shoot down capitalism so that you can advance what kind of an ism? Communism, socialism. So there was this article, I think it was in the Patriot Post some time ago, 2019, says capitalism, not socialism, will produce the technology to address environmental concerns. I'm just, you know, picking through this. Communism, not capitalism, was proved to be massively damaging to the environment and people. No other great industrial civilization so systematically and so long poisoned its land, air, water, and people as the Soviet Union. Not coincidentally, the world is now seeing a similar disregard for the environment from the central planners in communist China. Okay, now I was in communist China in 2016. I was in Beijing. If you've ever seen pictures of Beijing, when were the Olympics in Beijing? What year was that? I forget what year it was. What was that?
2008.
That may be right. Okay. If you go back and look at the photos from back then, Beijing, the skies are beautiful. Everything is bright blue. The communists shut down Beijing for that to happen. Here's Beijing in 2016. I took this picture. Tiananmen Square is back there. This is the Forbidden City, and I'm on a mountain. I climbed this mountain with my interpreter, and that is not rain. That is smog. It is oppressive heat, from the smog and the smog trapping the heat. Okay, one of the worst offenders when it comes to the environment is communist China. I'm just trying to point out what that article was saying there, that communism is the worst offender. Andrew? Wow. I believe it. I believe it. They are so good at trying to cover things up. I mean, look at COVID. Everything that they covered up there, they are masters at lying, deception, and the West is swallowing all this stuff, hook, line, and sinker. So I went to the Olympic Stadium. If you see pictures of the Olympics, I didn't go there because I was looking. That's where my God says, hey, you want to go to the Olympic Stadium? Sure, let's go. That's not too far in the distance. Beijing is one of the most polluted cities in the world. It's communism. Questions or comments thus far about this. Ed?
I understand that all of the predictions did not happen. The only thing that did happen was that resulted in higher taxes.
Yeah. Oh, that's very good. Yeah, higher taxes. And more things like taking away your gas stove, which they laughed at. The Democrats in Congress laughed at the Republicans for even bringing it up. They're talking about it. It's more and more becoming your gas water heater and so forth and so on. Folks, it is all a ruse for control. Now, that's all political. What does that have to do with my main thesis of this whole series? The social gospel. And you're going to find that there are Christians and churches who are getting on this bandwagon and preaching this as the responsibility of every Christian to do what we can to make sure that you buy your electric vehicle. If you want to buy an electric vehicle, so be it. Go for it. My brother drives a hybrid. It's kind of a neat car. Get better gas mileage. Let the market take care of that. If you know what? If those are the best thing, fine. I think having a Tesla would be kind of neat. But I'm not going to get one. Because how far can I go before, you know, I get it? I mean, there's so many things. You can get all political about that. But here's the thing. Churches are preaching this as your responsibility to get involved and to make sure that you are part of the solution, not the problem. Because they listen to this lie. And it's a religion. Environmentalism is a religion. And it's permeating churches. It's permeating Christianity. I'm done with this. I've got one more thing to talk about that's totally different before we close, unless you have comments. Carol?
I
think you may have been gone. We talked about hunting and all that stuff that manages wildlife, the management of our forests, and how that we could do away with all these fires and so forth that are taking place if we managed. If man was truly practicing his God-given responsibility of having dominion, rather than letting a few people have dominion with their agendas. By the way, was something written recently about recycling? Somebody was telling me about how that recycling does not work.
They can't use it.
Yeah, it's worse to recycle. You are actually contributing more to pollution when you get into this recycling lie. So, well, now you're going to ask me where that was written, and I don't remember. So, Carol, you're responsible for finding that. It is Rod. It is Rod. Go see Rod if you have any questions. He's the one who told me about that. Yeah, he told me about that. That's good. Okay, so, Larry. And to kind of go continue on that, what was happening in Sri Lanka, where my brother is as a missionary, where all of a sudden they're not able to produce food? Why was it? You've heard about this. You haven't. Okay, same thing happened in the Netherlands. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, what does ESG stand for? I taught you this. Environmental, social, governance, ESG, where you are now going to have a score as to how good you are with the environment. Environmental, social, governance. And so they were teaching the farmers in the Netherlands and the farmers in Sri Lanka that fertilizer hurts the environment. So to have a nice high score, the governments in those two countries did away, you can no longer fertilize. Well, they had no food that year. Farmers, you can go back and you can see the pictures of the farmers protesting in the Netherlands. They're driving their tractors right into the capital saying this is ridiculous. But they have a high ESG score. Okay, remember the social credit scores that they have in China? Anybody remember me saying, this has been some time ago. According to the way you act, and according to your listening to what the government wants you to listen to, they will give you a score. And Christians in China have a very low score because they don't think much of the government. And so they're being persecuted. It has to, and everybody has this score. And I read this probably 2 years ago to you, and how that it's coming to America. And in China, they're limiting your access to groceries and so forth based upon your social credit score. Okay? And I mentioned this, well, this looks something like what the Antichrist is going to do one day, where he's going to limit your ability to buy, trade, or sell based upon not social credit, but getting to the ultimate, his number. What is that number? 666. What does that have to do with? We don't know. But things are getting more and more clear as to how the Antichrist will have complete control over everybody based upon how they live in the society that he is going to create as the optimum utopia. And if you get in the way, hey, you're a detriment. It's time for you to go. I just wanted to close with the LGBTQ emphasis that you have today. We had talked some time ago about what was taking place. I mean, some of the furor has died down. Disney, Bud Light, nobody needs to worry about that here, I hope. North North Face, some of the offenders. And I read this article that says, want to know who the best supporters of sodomy are? Ask them. And so I just want to give you a list of some of these who support. By the way, I'm all for boycotting, but there's going to come a point where you can't boycott anymore. What can you do? But I say, well, right now, while you can do something, do it. Don't go there as much as possible. One of those is Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is way down at the bottom. And their whole thing, as far as being woke, it has nothing to do with the LGBTQ, but it has to do with DEI. Does anybody remember what DEI stands for? Diversity, equity, inclusion. Okay. They hired a DEI guy to make sure that they're hiring enough of this, that, and the other, whether it be by race, whether it be by sex, whether it be by orientation. So they're getting into that. So I think there needs to be pressure on Chick-fil-A. But when we were in Greenville, we went to Chick-fil-A. Okay? So I'm not saying, oh, if you ever walk into this store, you're bad. Okay? I'm just saying, as much as possible, I think we need to have an impact. Levi's is one of the top ones, has been loud and proud supporting the LGBTQIA+ community for several decades. Ben and Jerry's. I love ice cream, but not Ben and Jerry's. I've never even tasted Ben and Jerry's because of all that. Apple. Apple CEO Tim Cook is one of the very few openly gay CEOs in the world. Starbucks. American Eagle and its sibling brand, AERIE. Wow, okay. Both of which operate under the American Eagle Outfitters. Target is one of the worst. North Face. Ford. Even made a rainbow truck. Adidas. So, I think our country started out with a boycott. Remember what that was? Threw tea into the bay, you know? And Sean Hannity is one of those, well, I don't support boycotts. Well, what do you mean? How did our country start? I think boycotts are very effective, and I think we ought to do them. So I'm just saying, I'm encouraging you as much as possible not have anything to do with these. I'm not saying that if you happen to go into one, oh, man, you're bad. But what do you think? Yeah, Bud Light. Yeah. I mean, somebody pointed out, you know, really it's kind of interesting that it took somebody to touch somebody's beer for action to finally happen. That's pretty sad. Paul? My boys, years ago, came downstairs. I was in the basement doing something, and he said, Dad, Breyer's Ice Cream is doing such and such. They wanted to see my reaction because I love Breyer's Ice Cream. Of course, it was a lie. They were just giving me a hard time. Dad, Breyer's hired a bunch of homosexuals or something like that. I said, they did not, you know. But one day I might have to get, you know, put Breyer's up there with Ben and Jerry's. I hope not. Carol, you were going to say something.
I was going to say, a friend of mine may know this, but in Target, they announced all this non-binary, non-gender clothes for kids, and it was so disastrous that they had to do an emergency meeting and pull a lot of that out because people did protest.
Yep.
And said,
yep.
I'm not shopping there, and that's how you combat things like this, is you just don't spend your money there.
That's right. Yep. Brenda. Right.
And they're going to have their way.
Right.
And, you know, I tell people I may work in Target, but I don't shop there.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Take their money. Don't give it to them. Yeah. Yes, Susan.
Years ago that my book was passed,
Who was? Yeah. Yeah. And I let them know as much as possible, like, you know, we fly United because that's what flies closest to Greenville. You can go southwest, but you got stops everywhere. We flew United to Charlotte because it was nonstop. And United is heavy into DEI, big time. They're gonna start hiring pilots according to their color and sexual orientation. It doesn't have to do with qualified. What qualifies them is their skin color and their perversity. That's what they're getting into. So when they say, "How was your flight?" I very kindly say, "You know, everything was fine, but I want you to know I do not support what you're doing. And I will always try to find another airline before I come with you." Okay, well that's enough on this. Let's pray. Lord.